And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is your RBLR Rays podcast. I am Zach. He is Pat. And Pat, this is normally like a down period, like post NBA finals, getting into like the sort of the dog days of summer in Major League Baseball. No other sports really going on. And normally it's just kind of a wasteland for the sports world. But this year could not be any more different with the World Cup. I mean, it's everywhere right now. It is so entertaining. I don't know about you. I think I may have an idea what you think, but I am loving every second of it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with a World Cup. Well, we could get into a whole debate about whether it's called soccer or football, but
I'm okay. I'm okay just giving you football. I'll just give you football. Football, and we can move on.
Yeah. But it's been a blast, and I'm really glad to see soccer in the US kind of take off a bit more, get that kind of boost of popularity over there, more people engaged with it, because I love it. And it does make it harder to focus on the Rays, it's got to be said, when there's you've got to like dual screen it and hope that you have no thoughts occurring watching baseball and football at the same time. But it's been a great time, and honestly I think the Rays and England have a lot in common in that they love it when it's coming home. And they play so well at home, and they have taken another series at home just now against the Washington Nationals. And they have the best home record in baseball, I believe. So I guess the Rays in England have that in common. I don't know how many other things they have in common, but we can we'll leave that to the people in the comments to figure out.
Yeah, do they have a 4? We won 4-3. It's not really very close. But what we all have in common that are all here is we are excited about the fact that the Rays did get a series win. We are in the midst of a down stretch. This beginning end of May, beginning of June for the Rays. But we got a lot to talk about today, so we're going to get right into it. Thank you all for joining us that are here. We appreciate you guys. If this is your first time joining us, thanks. Hope you enjoy the show. If you've been with us before, double check you're subscribed. If you're watching us on YouTube, if you're watching us anywhere else, just check that you're following so you know when we go live and you can be a part of the conversation. If you do have thoughts, which I'm sure that you do, head on over to YouTube, drop them in the comments. We'd love to hear from you guys. But just hopping right into it. Yeah, it's been, you know, it's the first kind of extended losing streak that the Rays have been on. Not obviously they're not losing consecutive games in a row, but like they have lost more series than they've won over the past month and a half or so. And that's not ideal for sure. But I think when you look big picture, the Rays are still in a very good spot. They're only down 2 games. It is unfortunate we lost our lead to the Yankees, but we're only down 2 games after the Rays winning today and the Yankees losing to the Reds. So we're only back 2 games. We're comfortably where we want to be from the playoffs perspective. So with all that said, Pat, how are you feeling? And we're going to get into the series that happened this week, but how are you feeling overall right now, Pat?
The Rays have been a tough watch this month. And it's mainly been the offense that's felt a little lethargic for me. It feels like we're losing a lot of games 4-3. We're doing a lot of 4-3 games, I feel. 7-12 in the month of June. Yeah, we're just struggling to put up big numbers. And I feel like the Rays have kind of, apart from in that series against the Red Sox, really strayed from the game plan that helped them win a lot of games early in the season. We're stealing less bases. We're being less patient in our at-bats. We're walking less. It feels like the approach has kind of gone out the window that we're bunting far less. And I don't know why we've decided to pivot from a game plan that was so successful. I don't know if it's because of injuries or what, but things haven't been going to plan, and I don't think this offense is built to succeed with a kind of with a different approach than the one that we had at the start of the season. So that's been tough to watch. The pitching has kind of still been okay. It's probably been like a click under what you want, but it just feels like the pitching is a little tired. We're missing you say to Emrod, if we had those kind of guys helping out, you'd feel really good about this pen. But it does feel a little stretched at the moment. It feels like we're in need of a little spark to kind of get things rolling again. I don't know if that's just like a statement series or someone to go on kind of a hot streak, like a Junior or an Aranda. But yeah, it just feels like something's just a smidge off, and we're losing a lot of games on the margins right now. And I don't know if that's just regression, natural regression, or if that's something that's kind of an indicator of something more. What do you think?
Yeah, so of the 18 games the Rays have played in June so far, they lost 7 games by one run. So that's already one piece of it. But on the kind of the flip side, they've also lost 5 games where the Rays pitching staff allowed more than 4 runs. So there's one or two of those that overlap where it was like a 5-4, but a lot of those are like we're getting blown out occasionally from the pitching side, but we're also losing some close games from maybe more the offensive side. We're just not able to get that one extra hit. And so I'm more concerned about the getting blown out, and that kind of falls more on there's unfortunately not just one culprit to put it on, right? Like there's been some guys that have really like actually played quite well that I was initially really concerned about, guys like Griffin Jacks, who over the past 3 starts has really like kind of locked in and turned it around. Whereas Martinez has had 1 or 2 bad starts. McClanahan has kind of had 2 tough starts in a row. The bullpen has been very hit and miss.
Steven Matz has fallen off a cliff.
Matz is like gone. I don't know what happened to him. Like he's just not locating his pitches well enough. We've had injuries. We're Casey Legumina has been in a lot of games, and he really even hasn't been the biggest culprit of what's been going wrong. So there's a lot of things all happening at once. And I guess to me, that in a way that makes me feel a little bit better. You also look at injuries on the offensive side where it's like, it's not like the team that we planned at spring training is not running out there and getting dusted. Like that's not what's happening. We are in a stretch where we've had some attrition. We've lost some guys for the year that we're just going to have to deal with, and we're dealing with that. We've got some guys that are, you know, undergoing smaller injuries that we hope to get back. Getting DeLuca back this week was massive. He's kind of the pivot point for this series a little bit. Like he's been excellent. And so getting him back is huge. But I would be more concerned if we had everybody that we expected to have and we were having this month. But I'm kind of okay chalking this month up to just, hey, there's some attrition happening right now. It's going to happen. You're going to lose some baseball games. We have managed to not go on extended losing streaks. And I think that's the big deal, is when we've needed it, whether it's Rasmus and whether it's been Jax even, we've had 1 or 2 starts where we've been able to kind of reset it a little bit, get a couple wins. We mixed in a sweep of Boston in this stretch, which was really, really big to get that, which kind of balances out the sweep we lost against the Dodgers. And honestly, I'd rather have a sweep in division and lose a sweep out of like conference. Like that's out of league, that's a trade I'll make. So I'm not in panic mode at all. This is just sort of this period of games is going to happen at some point this year. The hope is that everybody gets healthy and this is kind of the extent of it, and we don't have this going forward. But that's kind of where I'm at. I've got some bigger picture opinions that I'm kind of taking away from seeing this period, but just on like, am I concerned or am I panicking or am I okay? I'm pretty okay with it. Nothing that I'm seeing is like, oh, we're in big trouble. We're not going to make the playoffs. Like I'm not seeing anything that's telling me that.
No. I mean, even in that sweep against the Dodgers, we were one hit away in all of those 3 games. That's tough, but it happens. The only series that disappointed me was that Angels one. We've got 7 of our next 10 are against the Royals, who are a team that have been struggling a bit. So this is a good chance to really kind of right the ship as well, with the Diamondbacks kind of sprinkled in there as well. It feels like a team that's a bit tired, a bit stretched to me.
Yeah.
Which is not great, but considering this is a team that's built on high energy, kind of outrun you, basically, out-hustle you. So it feels like we could do with the All-Star break sooner rather than later. We're still like 3 weeks away from that. So we could do with that, but it's fine. And I also know, you know, you go, if this team wants to be successful and make a push at the playoffs, probably needs an extra piece or two. And I have a couple of pieces in mind, but I don't know if I should keep them to myself at this point.
I mean, I'm in the point now where I tweeted this out yesterday. We need a bat and an arm if we're gonna make noise in the playoffs. Like, I think this team is constituted is gonna make the playoffs, but if we want to do anything outside of the wild card round, if we want to win the division, like confidently, then I think we need a bat and an arm.
Yeah. And you know who I love, actually? Who I would love the Rays to go out and get? The guy we just played and made a meal of us, C.J. Abrams.
You talking about C.J. Abrams? Yeah. I was thinking it too. And, like, unfortunately, the Nationals are, like, tied for the last wild card spot right now. So what you would have to give up to get him, like, you would be sending them – you'd probably send them Carson Williams plus a bunch of other stuff, probably a starter – one of the top end starters that we have in our farm, and then maybe somebody else. You would have to, and that might not even be enough. You have to send a lot to get CJ Abrams, I think.
The Rays have a lot of Rule 5 prospects that they need to kind of offload. So either get on the roster or offload. So some prospects will need to be dealt either way, I think. And it's whether or not the Rays decide to go for those big ticket items. Or they might do kind of a thing. This is a thing they've been known to do, where they trade a lot of prospects for prospects lower down.
Right. To kind of reset the farm
the clock. System a little bit. Yeah. So they might do a bit of that as well. They might do a bit of both. But yeah, I think we need a starter that can reliably pitch a good amount of innings. Because at the bullpen, I think, assuming that Emrod can come back this year, I think the bullpen could be fine. Yeah. Maybe you go get an arm if it's cheap. And then, a starter and then a middle infielder. Because that, even if you run Walls at short and Abrams at second base, I'm kind of fine with that. But a middle infielder is kind of needed because Williamson has not impressed. And Walls, we know what Walls is. And Palacios is okay, but I think you can upgrade.
Yeah, and Palacios really, I don't think, unfortunately, is going to be able to be much more than a platoon bat. Like, I don't really know that he's going to be able to provide. And he's not good enough defensively to where you can just play him for the defensive value. And now that DeLuca is back, I want DeLuca, Mullins, and Chandler out there every day in the outfield for the most part. You have your hand raised.
Ryan Vallade, has he earned everyday position player status?
Listen, this is something where I wish we could talk to Kevin Cash. I'd love to ask him this question because to my eye, watching the games, I think he should be out there every day if it was up to me, but it's not up to me. And clearly the Rays disagree with that opinion because they're not sending him out there every day.
And yeah, I trust him more than Chandler at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one where, and there's been plenty of Chandler discourse as well, and we could talk about that a little bit. I guess we could kind of mention that while we're going through this, because when as we're looking at the guys that are struggling right now, look no further than Chandler Simpson and his -7 WRC plus over the last 2 weeks. I mean, yikes, -0.2 F4. He has how many? I'm trying to see how many hits he has over this period of time. Is five hits. That's it. All are singles. And what's even more, I think, alarming, and this is what we've talked about this, or we've kind of started to talk about it a little bit. One stolen base over his last 11 games. Now he added a stolen base today. Actually, he added two stolen bases today. So that'll be three by the end of today, which is good. But it's still like really alarming. And part of the problem is he hasn't been on base nearly enough to steal bases. And it seems like he has changed his approach. The ball is in the air entirely too much. He is, he's striking out still around the amount that he had been in the past, which is not very much. So that's good. But the ball's just in the air way too much over the past like couple of weeks.
So, Brian, I think the optimal outfield is at the moment DeLuca, well, Velade in left, Mullins in center, DeLuca in right. Or you could flip those if you want. You could have DeLuca in left and Velade in right, whatever.
Yeah.
But Velade this year, admittedly, only in 51 plate appearances. But, you know, he's got a 113 WRC plus against right-handers.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's only had 20 more plate appearances against lefties than he does righties. And against lefties, he's 127. He's been great, you know, as a player. But against righties, he's still above an above average bat. I mean, he's got as many home runs against right-handers as he does against lefties.
Yeah, and I mean, he's got a good arm. He's faster than you think. So he's not a liability. He's not, like, going to win a gold glove, but he's not a liability out there defensive. I don't get it. I don't know if it's one of those things where they just think with more exposure that he will get exposed. But we were talking about this in the Discord yesterday, during yesterday's game. There was a critical moment at the end of the game where they let Williamson, who looked awful all day, who, by the way, he's got a 14 WRC plus over the last 2 weeks. Yikes. They left him in after he struck out like three times that day. I think that was a terrible at bat.
And he struck out. Yeah, it was a really bad at bat.
Really bad at bat. And we were like, why wouldn't you bring in Velade in that moment?
Or even someone with platoon advantage, because we know the Rays really highly value platoon advantage, right? Yeah. If this season's taught us anything, they are leaning heavy on platoon advantage wherever they can get it, including like pinch hitting in like the fifth if they feel like they need that platoon advantage.
I'm trying to think. I don't even know. The only thing I don't know is I don't know if they had anybody to.
Did they have like Mesa? Or?
No, Mesa was already in the game. And Palacios was lifted for Williamson. So I don't think they really had anybody. Besides Velade.
Yeah.
They could have sent, and they also had taken Fiducia out earlier in the game. So they didn't have anybody else they could have sent in there. Because DeLuca had also just pinch run for Yandy. So
yeah,
your only option was Velade was literally your only bat. But I would have rather, and maybe that's why they didn't do it, is because if they did do that, then they literally don't have anybody else on the bench. And it's like, if something were to happen, you would be like sending out a pitcher to play second base or something. But maybe that was it. I don't know.
But still, it was, it's just Velade, I think, has deserved more playing time. And I don't know why he's not getting it. But maybe that will come to pass at some point. I mean, Austin Slater, he came. He
was here. He played.
He was here. I mean, his overall numbers.
He was fine.
Fine. He drew walks quite well. He drew walks in his easy clip. He got on base.
He did.
He had a 311 on base, but he had a 69 WRC plus.
Over the last 2 weeks, he had a 106. So not awful.
Yeah,
he was okay. I think he'll probably end up somewhere else. I don't know if we'll be able to keep him through the waivers. Maybe we will, but I wouldn't be shocked if somebody picked him up because he's not awful. He's a major league level, like quad A, like replacement level player.
Yeah.
In the major leagues. Like, that's not nothing.
Yeah, sure. So it just feels like we just need that little bit extra. We're just missing a little bit extra.
And maybe Johnny DeLuca is he's it. He certainly felt that way over this last series. Maybe it's him. Maybe it's getting Fraley back. But I mean, also like Victor Mesa has had a really nice stretch. So like, I'm not even mad at Victor Mesa. He over the last 2 weeks, 121 WRC plus, he's looked pretty good. Over the stretch of games, he's shown some real power.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, there's some interesting stuff happening. with these guys. And that's why, again, it's why I'm really not panicking, because like there's been a couple of blowouts mixed into to like this stretch of games, but those are not the norm. And we are like, overall, we're seeing guys contribute. I think the thing that for me that I am wanting and that we're not getting right now is I feel like we need more lineup protection for Junior. And I feel like that is what's kind of preventing us from getting to the next level, because like, you know, Yandy, Aranda and Junior are all kind of, I wouldn't call it a slump that they're in for these last 2 weeks.
Yandy's doing fine.
But like Aranda and Junior are sort of like, they're not playing to quite the level they'd like to be over the past like 2 or 3 weeks. They're just sort of, they're just good. They're not great. And I think that some of that is down to those two are sort of protecting Yandy a little bit, because Yandy's leading off. And so, you know, guys are being forced to pitch to Yandy, whether they like it or not, and Yandy's taking advantage of it. Whereas, you know, right now you're like, it's a rotating cast of characters that's hitting in front of Caminero right now. And you know, maybe DeLuca in front of Caminero, maybe that's the move. Like, you know, maybe that's the move. But like there's been nobody consistently who's hitting in front of Junior. And I think he's suffering a little bit for it. And I think that that's kind of what I need and what I want out of this trade deadline, is I want somebody who consistently, they can slide into that three spot in front of Junior, because I think the top four of Yandy, Aranda, somebody else, and then Junior is what I want it to be. Like, I think that's what I want, but I need somebody who's in that third spot right there to can consistently perform. And that's what I feel like has been missing from the lineup. I feel like there's been multiple opportunities where like I thought Junior was going to get an opportunity, and the person in front of him either had a bad strikeout, which then puts Junior behind the eight ball with two outs, or grounds into a double play, which, you know, I mean.
And because there's no threat after Junior in the lineup, he does not get any strikes. Like, and Junior, still young. He started off really good at taking his walk. He's getting slightly more impatient. And he can hit a bad ball out, but that means he is swinging and chasing a lot still. He's doing it slightly less than last year, but you can see him getting frustrated with the lack of quality pitches to hit he's getting. And that is getting in his head. So he is now like, I need to learn to hit bad balls. So that means he's swinging more at him. So it does mean that he's not living up to his full potential. If he had an extra guy in that lineup, which meant Junior was not the guy to pitch around. That would help a lot. I think overall my assessment of the team is, you know, I think we'd all be kidding ourselves if we said, hey, we'd be two games out of the division, second best record in the American League in mid-June at the start of the season. So we're in a great place. Like, I think...
Yes.
Our playoff odds, if you care about them, are 85%. And can I just say, on opening day, our playoff odds were 29%. And I would be so shocked if at this point we didn't make the playoffs.
It would be a significant collapse.
Because we're currently 6.5 games above the Blue Jays and the A's, who currently hold the third wildcard spot. So we would have to really fall off. I think 500 rest of the way gets us to like 88 wins, which should be enough to make the playoffs in a fairly weak American League. Because the Blue Jays have that third wildcard spot. They're under 500.
Yeah.
So I think we should be fine. It would be great to win the division. I'm kind of like not going, I think it's unfair to say this team should win a division. You'd want them to, you'd like them to, but to say they should win the division, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think that, again, I think they can win the division. I think if everybody got healthy and they sort of, the rotation stabilized a little bit and we got one or two of the bullpen guys back, this team is currently constituted could win a division. But I think that if you want to sort of guarantee it or put us in the best position possible, one more arm, one more bat, I think does it. because we're right there. We're right there. And so, but credit to the Yankees, they've, you know, and they're on a little bit of a, they're on a two-game losing streak right now, which is nice for us. But they've played pretty well without Judge. And if they're going to continue to play pretty well without Judge, then we have got to, we've got to step up a little bit if we're going to win this division. Cause once, cause they're only going to get better when Judge gets back.
Yeah. I mean, Ben Rice playing out of his mind.
Does he regress at some point? Probably.
Probably, but I do like Ben Rice. I think he's very good.
Ben Rice is really good, unfortunately.
And their pitching has been, their starting rotation is outstanding. Like Schlittler and Weathers and Cole's back now. You know,
Rodon's supposedly going to be back at some point too.
They
can pitch with anybody.
Yeah, they've got a really good rotation. Freed.
Yeah.
So that's the thing with them. That's going to carry them, is they've got like maybe the best rotation. They're going to be competing with the Mariners for best rotation in the league. So yeah, the good thing is there's a lot of bad teams in the American League, and that means potentially a lot of sellers that we can pick from.
Yeah.
If we want to kind of pick for reinforcements. So we'll see. We'll see. And actually the Nationals are not in the playoff spot after that loss, luckily.
Okay. So again, there will be teams that are going to sell. I think there was this sort of talk, I think at some point earlier in the year, because everybody was so bunched up, it's like, nobody's going to sell. Teams are going to sell. We're going to get to the deadline. There are going to be teams out of it. There's going to be cheap owners trying to sell players off. It's going to happen. The question is just going to be, what is in Eric Neander's mind right now to do? What is he up for? What does he have the stomach to do? And not that I'm saying he's not willing to, but what kind of moves are we looking to make here at the deadline? And I mean, I will try to take like a month break from mentioning this afterwards, but man, wouldn't it be nice to have a power hitting second baseman right in the middle of your lineup to be able to hit either right before, or right after Junior Caminero, give you a nice little, maybe a left-handed one that you could really go like a really 1-2 punch, maybe one who's currently hitting as like the best second baseman in baseball. Wouldn't that be nice to have on your team for like $10 million? Man, crazy. Can you imagine?
Can
you imagine?
What if we traded for Brandon Lau at the deadline?
I mean, would I love it? I'm wearing a Brandon Lau jersey right now, so obviously I would love it. I don't think that you can, like, you can't be a serious franchise and do that. I just don't think you can do it. But would I love it? Yes. Because it's
The Rays have been linked to Joe Ryan.
Again, like, that one I don't mind as much. That one I'm fine with. Because, like, I would be fine with that. I was fine with the Nelson Cruz trade. Joe Ryan is good. Okay, we traded him for what we thought was a really good player. That's how that works out. Like, you don't fleece everybody in every trade. Like, we thought Joe Ryan was good when we traded him. Yeah. I would be fine to have him back. I've never understood. I tried so hard to understand the Brandon Lau trade. I just never have been able to. I sure hope Melton's good. That'd be great. But I cannot believe we did that, because it is like the one thing that we could use more than anything else is another guy in the lineup to just cushion it around Junior a little bit. And instead we have none of the players that we got back from that than anything.
I mean, Abreu was in the low minors, so we got to chill out on that one. Melton's been injured, so we got to wait and see on that one. It does feel like there's a Brandon Lau shaped hole in the team right now, and it does make you wonder where the team would be had we kept him. But also I think we were all in the mood of going, this Rays team is not a competing team next year. Like, if we might like sneak into a wild card team, but it's like we all suspected this 2026 Rays team to be a team in transition, where we were like, we're probably like, we might make the playoffs, we might sneak in, but really it's kind of we're building the next core. And like, so we didn't expect to be fighting for a division, which Brandon Lau was exactly what you need when you're fighting for a division. But 1 year of Brandon Lau, when you're trying to build the next core, you go, okay, I see it. It's just so happened we've overperformed this year. And now we're like, damn, we should have just kept him.
Well, yeah. And again, it's like, the we had the vision of 2027 is Carson Williams at full strength. It's Junior in his third season. It's Aranda in his third full season. We'd still have Yandy at that point. We probably wouldn't have Brandon Lau at that point, even if we'd kept him this year. And we'd have most of our like top end starters would have either been back off of injury, kind of ready to go. And so I do see, like, I hear where you're coming from for sure. But I just like, I don't know. I just, for what we got back for him. And I don't think that like market value, maybe necessarily, we didn't get like, I don't think what we got back was terrible. It just feels bad right now because of Rayu's so far away and because Melton's been hurt. It just feels really bad. And again, maybe Melton comes up and is great and he's the solution that we've been looking for in the lineup and he's just the guy. And then it's like, and then it's great. And that would be awesome. But like right now, I have to like make myself not check Brandon Lau's, you know, Fangraphs page every once in a while, because it just makes me mad.
Sure. I get you. Do you know what is a great return on investment though?
What? Just please tell me.
Because I feel like you need a good return on investment.
I do. I need one.
And that is any of the items at shop.rblrsports.com. Yes. You can get all of the apparel to help represent and support your Rays, Rowdies, Lightning, Bucks, Sun, all of those good things. And if you use the promo code Flappy, you know you can get 10% off your entire order. Anything you order on shop.rblrsports.com, 10% off. And you can just use that promo code FLAPPY, and you know you'll have an excellent return on investment with that quality Tampa sports merchandise at shop.rblrsports.com.
You know what else is a good return on investment, I would say, is tickets to a Rowdies game right now. I don't know if you're aware. I mean, you probably are if you're watching this show, because you know we have amazing coverage of the Rowdies on this channel with RBLR Rowdies. The Rowdies are dog walking USL right now. And like, it's, you should just do yourself a favor. Like, either get ESPN Plus, because a lot of their games are on this. It's not a plug for ESPN Plus. But find a way to watch some Rowdies games. They are fun. Yeah.
I'll tell you what you shouldn't do.
What you should not do, yes.
You should not get a VPN and watch them for free on YouTube from the UK. That is illegal. I do not condone that in any way, but it is for there here in the UK. I'm watching it for free on YouTube. But you should not do that.
No.
Let it be known.
You should not do that. But listen, like if I'm, the Rowdies are now for me, like I watch maybe not every minute of every game, but I'm watching at least some of every game because they're just so much fun to watch. You know who else is fun to watch? Like almost all of the Rays minor league teams.
Oh,
there is some if you're not checking in on the Hot Rods, on the Montgomery Biscuits, on the Durham Bulls, if you're not checking in on what's going on in the minor leagues right now for the Rays, you are doing yourself a disservice.
Oh my God. The Hot Rods is maybe one of.
Yes.
Right. So the Rays have had some insane kind of minor league teams throughout the years. And oh my goodness, I think among the best of them is this year's Bowling Green team at High A.
Yes.
They are absolutely like dog walking their league. I need to remember the name of the division. The South Atlantic League South. So they're just starting their second half because they do it like first half, second half. In the first half, they were 47-18 and won their division by 9.5 games in half a season.
Just a little good.
And they have got some guys. I mean, perhaps the most important guy of them all is Theo Gillen.
Yes, perhaps the guy in the Rays prospects system right now.
Yeah, Theo Gillen is unbelievable.